Welcome to Teach, Play, Love, hosted by Rachel Robertson and Claire Goss. During this episode, you'll hear from experts in the early education field about what really matters and what doesn't during your child's early development. Now, here are your hosts.
Hi, Claire. It's nice to see you again. I haven't seen you for a while.
Hi, Rachel. Yeah, it's been a few weeks since we've been able to touch base. And we are going to talk today about something that's really important to me in my personal life, which is friendship and making friends and keeping friends. I'm definitely someone who has friends who feel like family to me. So this is an important topic.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think, you know, this is a topic that families of young children are very focused on because it's so relevant to developmental milestones and it's exciting and it's fun. And just like you were just talking about, adults treasure the friendships that they have and a lot of times have really long lasting friendships. So we value them as parents and we want that for our children. We want that experience, but that doesn't mean it's easy to develop them. So we are going to talk about just what it takes to build good friendships, how important they are. And we're also going to talk about how to sustain those friendships and deal with the ups and downs. Because any good friendship has some ups and downs, right? And any kind of social relationship has tons of pros, but there's also some challenges.
So this is, when we talk about making friends in early childhood, I put it in the social emotional learning kind of bucket of development. Mm-hmm. And yep. That's a really robust bucket. You know, there's some other buckets of development that are really clear, like brain development. That's one thing. Physical development, that's a set of skills. Social emotional development is a whole bunch of things. And we have a great episode that listeners can check back on about empathy. We're going to talk more about social emotional learning as the year unfolds on this podcast. But today we're going to focus on that friendship, that skill set that happens at the same time as these kids are growing all these other skills.
Right. And the social part of social emotional is really a lot about the friendship. There's an emotional part of it too, but yeah, social emotional learning and development is it's behind almost every other thing that we do in life. And having good relationships, whether they're even friendships or not, knowing how to navigate relationships, build relationships, overcome the challenges of them, is a critical lifelong skill. So it starts in these fun, sweet, early relationships. And if you know, we work in centers and schools with young children all the time. And seeing children form relationships and have little friendships is one of the sweetest things. I just love walking into that, meeting everyone's friends. And it's such a touching moment. And knowing all the important development that is packed into that is also makes it even more special. But it takes some support. Like, it does happen organically, but there's a lot the adults in a child's life can do to help them successfully form those friendships and keep those friendships. And it really starts with understanding development, because a lot of times we expect too much from young children's budding friendship skills.
Yes. So let's start there, because if those of you who are listening who have infants and young toddlers, you're probably thinking, this kid's not a very good friend right now. And that's a true fact about all.
That's fairly accurate.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So Rachel, tell us why babies and young toddlers make kind of lousy friends.
Yeah. It's a funny way to put it, but it's kind of true. So
kind of true.
I mean, they can show signs of sympathy. They're really attached to some people in their lives, including their parents. So they will, connect to you. And those are some early attachment skills. So they're kind of like a good friend to you, but they're really in it for themselves for the most part at that point. They're not really looking to make your life better or contribute to the friendship in a way that is only about you. They're very egocentric. They are getting their needs met. And a very important need that they have in those early years is to build their identity and confidence and self-concept. And they do that through those interactions with you. And they need to know that the world is safe. They also will have some, you sometimes can see an infant shedding tears because someone else in the area, another infant, is shedding tears, or they might hand a block to a child or try to comfort that child. But what they're doing is they're understanding what would make them feel better or how they would want to be responded to in that moment. And they're doing that for the other child. So it's not true perspective taking. It's not empathy yet. But you will see some budding things about that look like the beginning of that, those skills in the infant years. But I think most importantly to know, in the infant toddler years, they are on purpose, by design, however you think about it, they are supposed to be egocentric. This is what gets their needs fulfilled to build those early foundational brain and other kinds of development skills that allow them to then branch off from there and become, start thinking about other people, which is really doesn't happen until the preschool years. And it's pretty even shaky when it starts to happen in the preschool years.
That's right. So they have to be very, very self-focused that first year, even 2 years of life, because they have to learn everything about everything, right? So friendship is great, and companionship, certainly. We're very, very social animals. We from infancy, we need people to help us. Yep, we need
absolutely.
People. And it's not just that we need someone to change our diaper and feed us. That warmth and companionship and nurturing we've seen over and over again in research actually really helps brain development, right? Lower stress levels, which aids learning and growth. So we need social interaction right from the first minute.
Yep.
But yeah, and yet they are still very, very self-focused and self-interested. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the social interaction to nurture them, right? In the first couple of years, is they are they're narcissists, and that is correct. They should be, and they're in it for themselves. So something might be mutually beneficial, but it's not because, again, they're going, you know what would make my mother really happy right now? Let me just do that for her. The toddler is not having those thoughts. They don't even have the capacity to have those thoughts, but they might offer you their blanket because that's what makes them feel better. And so that they can kind of start to understand, like, my mom looks a little sad. Maybe she'd like this. I like it. I mean, we're all good, right? Now she can, you know, get me my lunch. Is that right? So again, it's just this very egocentric, and we're laughing about it, but because it's a tricky phase sometimes, and it's good to laugh about it, but it's also really important to understand it. So if we're saying things to a toddler, like, how would that make you feel? They can't answer that question. If we say to a toddler, you should share, That's not a capacity they have. You can kind of force it. You could say, give them this, or you need to give them half of this. A lot of times it'll turn into something, a really sad event or resistant to it, because they don't have the capacity for those skills. And you're asking, that's what I mean by you're asking maybe too much of them. You have to work them into that. You have to understand their development, and you also have to help them build those skills before they're in a higher stakes scenario, like trying to make a friend.
Totally. It takes so much practice to get those skills right. I'm still practicing sharing as an adult. Sometimes those skills, especially if I'm tired or hungry, my sharing skills nosedive first. But that's why when we're in centers, in classrooms, and parents listening will notice this too. I always think it's funny when infant parents set up play dates, because it's not really, the babies are what we call parallel playing, which means they're sitting next to each other. Maybe they're working on something similar, but they're not, there's no collaboration. There's no real clear communication, right? They're certainly happy to see another human, but that's what we call parallel play. But when we move into those two,
that's a parent's play date, right? The parents, and that's good. That's good. Actually, we're going to talk about this a little bit. One of the things you can do, the best thing you can do, is model being a good friend. So that's okay, but it's not really for the children at that.
That's right.
Phase.
So there's a lot of good stuff happening with those infant years. You're modeling how to be a good friend, like you said. You are providing that warmth and nurturing and love so that your baby learns that humans are good. I like people. We want our babies and toddlers to be like, yay, humans are safe. People, I like people, because that's also the foundation of any good relationship, any good future friendship. So, then we're moving into those toddlers, they're starting to talk, the language is getting stronger. What are we doing to help these toddlers moving into preschoolers? They're able to start communicating, which is when we start seeing some trickiness with taking turns, some trickiness with sharing.
Right. Yep. But they're starting to understand the value of friendships. They want that social connection with others. They're able to seek that out. They do have some. They're starting to figure out perspective taking, so they can kind of put themselves in someone else's shoes or situation. They value the social benefits. They enjoy each other and have fun. They start some children even start to find their like good friends where they really connect with one specific child or a couple specific children. So that they developmentally they're able to do those things and they're seeking those things out. It's in it and it is helpful for their development too. It builds those social skills and emotional recognition and regulation. And when we say regulation, we're really talking about impulse control, resisting doing things, knowing when something is appropriate, learning about social norms, social skills. So that all happens in the context of relationships. So it's a good thing that we're driven to seek those out and that we need them because it allows for a lot of skill building that you can't really get another way. And I just want to mention that too about the infant toddler play dates is though, even though the play date, the friendship building part is really not something that they're capable of, there is a value in the social context, no matter what age, and the learning that there is something that happens in our brains when we're in a social setting that is different than when we're alone or in a small setting. So that's a different conversation. That's a different podcast topic, but I don't want to skip over that. They're not yet building a friendship, which is obviously today's topic. But those preschoolers, they sure can, and they like to start to do it. I know, Claire, you talk a lot to families about temperament, and I think it's important to talk about that here, is to be mindful of your child might have a different temperament, tolerance for relationships and how to enter into them and how much time to spend on them than you. And you need to really take that into consideration. They are not a carbon copy of you. And that is an important part of this early friendship building. I'm sure you want to say more and add to that.
Well, no, it's exactly what you just said. It's that approach and withdrawal. That's one aspect of it. That's a temperament characteristic. And Rachel, you know this about me. I'll walk up to pretty much anyone, introduce myself and say hi and try to find something to talk about. One of my children is the exact opposite temperament. And it was a real struggle for me. I go to the playground. I just look at him and say, go play. Go ahead, go play. And it was, or children would approach him and try to get him involved in something. And he was slow to warm up. Mm-hmm. And it was a poor goodness of fit with my temperament and his. It's really challenging. I had all these anxieties and worries as a young mother, like, he's going to not have any friends. He's going to be a loner. Well, that's not true because it didn't turn out that way. He's doing great socially now as a teenager. And it's because I did all those other things, right? I provided the warm, nurturing care. We got lots of practice being social. I did a lot of, you know, good social emotional stuff, labeling feelings with him, practicing conversation skills with him, like over dinner, over a snack, I'd sit down and say, you know, it's your turn to talk. Now it's my turn to talk. I'm going to listen to what you're saying and I'm going to comment thoughtfully on what you say.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of practice. Yep.
And intentionality, right? You're thinking about your conversations and your interactions with your children as an opportunity for them to learn and develop skills. And not every single one of your interactions with your children has to be about that. But when you're thinking like that, and that's what we do in our programs at Bright Horizons. I mean, our teaching strategies are really about guiding and facilitating learning through interactions and experiences more than telling children what to do. And we know that that's much more successful of a strategy. Aligns with brain development, aligns with the research, and it's something parents can do at home in these situations as well. I think I had kids, two daughters, and they're both temperaments about friendships were different. My older daughter and I are a little on the, let's just ease into this situation. And my younger daughter is like you, Claire, like we would just joke and say, let's just send her out. She'll come back with friends for the whole family in a couple hours. So, yeah. and that's still the case. And it's kind of fun. We all modify around each other. But if I expected my younger daughter, I would be in the opposite. If I expected my younger daughter to be like me, I would be holding her back. So she's a different person than I would be. And it has different social interactions than I would be. And I just get to soak it up and appreciate who she is as her own individual. It's easier to do because she's 20 years into this thing. And when you have a 3-year-old, you don't quite know who they're going to be yet. And you're just figuring that out. So just measuring their temperament and taking their lead, challenge them so they grow is important, but making sure that you aren't pushing them to have a level of friendship sooner or more than is right for them. It's so important. You also mentioned a couple other things, Claire, that I think we should call out, is those early things you can do to help prepare children to be successful.
Right.
So even before they're doing play dates or even when they've started a couple, if they're in a social setting, which is so valuable to them in the preschool years, certainly, if not earlier, that social setting really, it just happens for them naturally. They're in peer groups. But the things you can do, you know, I'm always talking about this. If you've listened to other episodes, you've definitely heard me talk about modeling and narrating, showing them what it's like to be a good friend. And that doesn't just mean in the good times. That doesn't just mean in the fun times. You should show them that. But how you talk about your friends, how you deal with a challenge with your friends, how you overcome anything that's going on in friend groups or social settings, and how you narrate that for them or model for them, they are learning from that, the good and maybe the bad, about how to be a friend and what to tolerate and how to navigate the trickier parts about social relationships.
100%. And your children are always watching you, right? And they're always listening to how you're talking about other people. So take that into consideration. I also mentioned labeling feelings. That's a pretty, like, really good foundational social emotional skill, social and emotional, both things, right? Labeling feelings helps you navigate social situations. Just think about a couple 3-year-olds and there's one fire truck, right? It's going to be a situation. If there's two kids and one of anything, toddlers and preschoolers, it's going to be a situation, a tricky situation. But if they've had some practice, if they've had some good modeling and some practice saying, I'm mad, I would like a turn, right? They don't just, again, some of this does come organically, but it is easier and it kind of, it gives your kids some tools in their toolbox if they've got some language to pair with that feeling that they're having, and then a strategy for how to deal with those kind of sticky situations that are going to happen in friendships, right? They just are. Yeah. So lots of practice.
And if you don't help them figure out how to navigate these things, they're going to struggle long term, right? So you want them, playing a game is a good example. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times parents want to let their kids win for a variety of reasons. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But navigating how to lose or not do as well as they expect in a very supportive, empathetic way is really helpful for them. So they know how to get through that, navigating how to share something or wait or take a turn or negotiate or apologize. Not telling them, say sorry and move on with it.
Yeah.
But how do you think that person would feel? What could you do to make the situation better? Do you think maybe something you did is part of why that person is feeling like that, reflecting on that? And so maybe you did take that fire truck away when you didn't ask about sharing it. What could you do now? So take the negativity out of it and just have it be about problem solving. So they work through a social situation that's meaningful to them. Mm-hmm. So then when they're in the real thick of it, they have those skills. You're going to have, if they're 4 or 5 years old, you're definitely going to have to remind them. It's not going to go well. That fire truck is still going to be a problem. But it's practice over time. As they develop, they'll get better and better at it.
Yeah. And we've got a great episode of Teach, Play, Love about taking turns and sharing that I encourage our listeners to check out, where we kind of dive into the breakdown of step by step how you could handle a situation like that. But what I want to emphasize about what you're saying, Rachel, is the opportunity to practice, giving your kids time to play. Play with you as a caregiver. Open-ended play is fantastic because naturally things are going to happen, unfold even with open-ended play. Giving them time to play independently, because you'll see them kind of navigating things and problem solving. Siblings, if you've got siblings in a household, that's great. Lots of natural practice there. So much social practice with siblings.
Right. I always think siblings, I talk to my girls or friends about this too. Siblings is like, someone said to you as an adult, you're going to get this roommate that you didn't ask for and you don't get to pick, and they're going to take half your stuff, maybe even more. It's fine with you, right?
Totally.
We can have a little empathy for the sibling situation too. Oh, and like you're saying, and maybe it's cousins or maybe it's neighbors if there's no siblings, but people that you didn't necessarily choose to spend your life with. how to navigate that. If you can do that, then you can, then you're going to be able to do much better with the people that you do choose to spend your life with.
That's right. Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what makes for a good preschool young child play date. And we're going to talk a little bit about what happens when friendships go a little sideways and maybe some conflict happens. So we'll be right back.
Great.
Nothing is more magical than a childhood filled with days of play, learning, exploration, and discovery. At Bright Horizons, we think of childcare as a chance to help a child experience it all. Our teachers go beyond the usual, ensuring your child has an enriching, satisfying day. They take the time to listen, engage, encourage, and celebrate the wins, big and small. At Bright Horizons, we put the care in childcare. Visit brighthorizons.com to find a center near you. Welcome back to Teach, Play, Love with Rachel Robertson and Claire Goss. We hope this episode is supporting your parenting journey. Now, back to the show.
Okay, Claire, before we move into the play date, I just want to talk about what you said about play for a moment, because play is just so undervalued by so much of society. And it is probably the single most valuable learning and development tool that we have. And we really have eroded the amount of time children get to play. We've put them in lessons. We have a lot of crafts and things where if it has like an outcome or a bunch of rules to it, it's not really play, the kind of play we're talking about.
Yeah.
And when you let children play, they are going to figure a lot of the stuff out. It is a social laboratory. They're going to get real life consequences by not taking their turn. They're going to get real life consequences for being empathetic. That's a positive consequence. They're going to learn social norms in a way they can't even explain it, but they're going to start to figure out them out. They get to practice. They get to imagine and take on different roles. They play. We see lots of children playing parents or family members or restaurant, or they play the things that they see all the time that they're interested in.
Yeah.
And there's always relationship navigation going on in that imaginary play. So that is the single most important thing you can do, is letting them play, and letting them play, whether it's with you, but also with some sort of a peer group, is really valuable for them, for so much of development, and very much so for social relationships and learning all those, even 21st century critical future ready skills, collaboration, negotiation, communication, listening. All of it is baked into play. So I just don't want to skip over that. If we get to a play date, we're going to talk about, like, just have some good open-ended play. But it gets a little bit more structured sometimes when we talk about a play date. But I couldn't let you talk about play without giving it one more powerful pitch.
Of course. I mean, we talk about this all the time at Bright Horizons, and it's how our programs are structured. Play is it for kids, right? So let's say your child comes home from preschool and says, I want to have Rachel over for a play date. This is the word that kids know. They just know it. They learn this word play date. Yeah. What does that mean? It means that you're getting on your phone and texting or calling this other parent that's a stranger. Yeah. It's like a little awkward. Maybe it's someone you already know. Maybe it's a play date with a neighbor or someone you see all the time. So just some quick tips as both an educator and a mom who has had a lot of play dates over the last 15 years. If you're dealing with a couple of preschoolers, first of all, have lots of stuff out. Like if you're going to decide that you're going to paint, get lots of paints out. If you're going to play baby dolls, could you get more than one baby doll out? Like, let's set these kids up for success in this play date. So just to reduce some of that friction that might occur. Another hot tip with your preschooler is before the friend comes over, say, is there anything that's really special? You know, when your friends come over, we're going to do a lot of good playing, and there might be, you know, you're going to have to do some sharing with some of your toys. Is there anything that's really special to you that you want to put away, that you don't have to share it with Rachel when she comes over? Because it can be tricky sometimes with your teddy bear or your favorite fire truck. And that you can just kind of put those things away. And those are just going to take a break during the play day. It just reduces conflict. We're looking to set your kids up for success here. You know?
Right. I mean, those are so spot on. A lot of times when kids have someone over to their house, they're just like pretty proud of their house, right? There's a lot of tours. Do you want to see my room? Do you want to see the bathroom? Do you want to see my pet? Do you want to see where my pet's food is? Just whatever. Yeah. They just are really into showing off their space and their house. And so they're just figuring out what's theirs and what belongs to them and what makes them who they are. And so they want to share a part of that. But that toy thing is really important, is put the ones away that are going to cause a problem or special. And then also identify which ones are shareable.
Yeah.
And maybe even practice a little bit about how to share those things. Because when we're talking about brain development, the base part of our brain is developing faster than the front part of our brain. And the front part of our brain is what helps us make good decisions. So we got a ways to go on that when we're 5 years old. But the back part of our brain that says, red alert, something's bad is happening here, gets fired up pretty fast when you're a preschooler. And when someone takes your favorite toy, that will fire itself up. So that's really important, but in equally is what are the things they can share. And sometimes getting something new, very loose parts, open-ended, creative process. So it's not so, it has to be this way. You can only use it this one way. I mean, honestly, you could have a bunch of cardboard boxes and some paint out, and that's what they work on. Yes. And I bet they'd spend hours on it. It would be great. So it doesn't need to have to be a big investment or something really fancy or sophisticated. But being kind of clear about what is out and what is available for play and for sharing is a good idea.
Okay, let's move into an adjacent topic, which is, let's say your child goes to a play date or they come home from school and they say, my friend said they don't want to be my friend anymore, or there's a big conflict over the fire truck or whatever, and your child is upset about it. How do we navigate this, Rachel? It's tricky.
Yeah, it is so tricky. I mean, the first thing always is, as a parent, you got to make sure that you're in a good place. So it can get, we are so protective of these little people that we just love so much, and we don't want their feelings hurt. We don't want any injustice to happen to them. And our amygdalas fire up once our kids are, it feels like there's a threat to anything going on with our children. So we have to be really thoughtful about how we respond, so we don't go right into defensive mode or accidentally model something like, well, they da-da-da-da-da, or you shouldn't ever, or jumping in and fixing it for them. Yeah. So I will say, like, there are definitely times that a parent needs to jump in and fix it for them. And so you have to make the decision, but an intentional, thoughtful decision when you're not in that reactive place. But most of the time, this is an opportunity to learn and to build social skills that will help your child for life. So, well, tell me more about what happened. How did that make you feel? What do you think your friend felt about it? Just walk them through it, navigate the situation. So try to take the emotion out of it and give them an opportunity to problem solve, to take someone else's perspective. Maybe this is a friend that it's not that important. It's okay. Maybe it's okay. They don't have to be friends with everyone. In fact, they won't be friends with everyone. That's a life lesson. It's okay. Maybe they did something to contribute to the problem. And so maybe they can figure that out and figure out how to get, maybe they have a genuine apology that they want to offer. But I think it's really important to use it as a learning opportunity and to certainly, I mean, the first thing, probably I should have said this, is give them a big hug and empathize with what they're feeling. Because those are some tough feelings. No matter why they happened, those are tough feelings. And knowing, just an extra reminder that they have you for comfort, you are a safe place for landing. Mm-hmm. And being not getting fired up yourself reinforces that you're a safe place for landing, and that you are a person they can talk to that who isn't going to take over or turn it into a negative situation. So those are all good things right there. And that alone will get you through, I don't know, this is a very unsophisticated statistic, but I bet 80% of the challenges.
Well, and I want to just also pause and say, like, your child's going to be on the other side of that equation at some point, right? Because they're all testing out all their social skills. So maybe on Tuesday, your child comes home and says, Rachel says we're not friends anymore, and I'm never coming to her birthday party. Okay, well, guess what? Next week, next Tuesday, your child might be the one saying that to somebody else. So having some empathy and compassion for both sides of the equation here. preschoolers are very black and white thinkers, and they also love control and power. These are just facts mm-hmm. about kids. We know this, right? You know this if you've got a preschooler, your child's looking for some ways to control things. So it's very easy for a preschooler to just let that slip off their tongue. You're not my friend anymore. It's dramatic.
It is the thing they can do, right? It is. They have very little control in their lives, and this is the thing they can do, and they know it's important. So, and they can get results out of it. So, if I say to you, Claire, we're not going to be friends anymore. If we're 5 years old, that has like that causes a reaction, yes. and sometimes I'm going to get what I want out of it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of power in social relationships and friendships, yeah. and if we just fast forward 10 years from a 5 year old, it becomes a very different situation where the peer groups become more influential than families.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that our children have the right skills to go into those situations when they're older, when we have less ability to navigate them, and teaching them how to deal with the downsides and the challenges mm-hmm. as much as enjoying the positives will set them up so much better for those as they get even trickier as they get older. But yeah, I think just recognizing that this is a little bit about control. It's what they can do, yeah. and they definitely should use that control wisely and make sure that they learn how to do that. But that's really what they're doing. They don't have some big master plan in mind.
No.
They're not thinking about how to co-opt the whole kindergarten class against your child. That's just not what the child is doing, but it can feel like that.
It can feel that way. That's right.
It can feel
like
that.
And you hit on it. Our amygdalas as adults get triggered. And maybe you had some bad memories of something like this happening to you in middle mm-hmm. school or yep. in early childhood where you yep. felt excluded or you felt left out. That was your experience, not your child's experience. Okay. So just, you
right,
know,
right.
I'm not a therapist, but just separating that out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am going to bring up the word bullying now because yep. we do get questions occasionally. Sometimes social interactions go sideways and it's not we're not friends anymore verbal thing. Sometimes it could be, we hear this child is bullying this child because there was a hitting or a pushing or a biting or a shoving happening. I want to touch on that now because that's again not typically a friendship issue, and it's not mm-hmm. even really bullying. It's not the word that I would use.
Yeah, yeah. I think we sometimes the term gets a life of its own, and bullying is a real big, serious thing, and one important part of bullying is intentionality.
Yes.
And these young kids don't really have even the capacity for that. And they are long range thinkers or planners. Mm-hmm. So they're not thinking, if I do this, if I tease this way, or if I say this thing, or if I have this physical activity or experience, then it will result in this because I'm trying to do this to this person. That's just not the train of thought even a 4-year-old is capable of. So it sort of sets the bullying aside from being really something that is happening in the early years. But I think what people are, when they're using that word, there's something, some sort of aggression, whether it's mm-hmm. verbal or yeah. physical or emotional, has happened.
Yeah.
And it feels threatening. It feels stressful. Yeah. It's worrisome. Maybe your own child, if you're feeling like this is happening to your child, they're having a lot of social emotional challenges as a result of it. But just to take the power or allow bullying to be what it is, because it is a really serious problem, and not dilute that word by using it when we just mean that something lesser than and less intentional, but still important and still serious.
Of course. And we always encourage families, if you think your child's safety is at risk in any way, their emotional safety or their physical safety,
absolutely.
Talk to your village, talk to your child's teacher, talk to your child's administrator, talk to your pediatrician, talk to your neighbor, talk to whoever it is that you need to talk to get some help and support and perspective on what's going on. Mm-hmm. Of course, mm-hmm. there are instances where yeah. we do need to step in. But frequently that term bullying is tossed around when really it's just, for better or worse, young children saying things or doing things that in that moment, they're just trying to get a little scrap of control, yeah. a little scrap of power,
right.
or they're feeling out of control, right? Often those things happen when the child who's doing the aggressive behavior or saying the aggressive words, their world feels like it's spinning out of control in that moment. And this what comes out. It's almost just like they just it just happens. It's uncontrollable. Right. I think of a top spinning and spinning out of control and all of a sudden something terrible has happened. And it's awful when your child's on the receiving end of it. I'm not minimizing that. It feels bad as a parent when your child has received you're not coming to my birthday party or a shove on the playground or whatever it is. It feels terrible.
Yep. So I think trying to understand perspective, trying to understand a little empathy, really thinking about making sure that your child is never the perpetrator of those kinds of things, or helping them navigate it if they are, and really being able to step in any situation. So there's certainly a place for the family, the adult with higher order thinking skills, more emotional and social regulation, to lend those skills to children when they're not able to do it themselves. So you can see in a place that their skill level, their developmental level, isn't able to navigate through the situation when it gets into this territory. And that's when they need adults to come in and support them. And we talk like, I'm going to let you borrow my skills by modeling it, giving you some suggestions, supporting you through this process. My intention as the adult in this is that you'll be able to do this on your own eventually, but I'm here to support you through this moment. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to fix it all for you. I'm not going to take the place. I'm not going to blame or call names or add to the problem. I'm here to help you get through this situation, whether, again, your child is giving or receiving, that to be as genuinely empathetic in the situation. And it, like you said, Claire, these kind of behaviors come from a tricky emotion, jealousy, frustration. Maybe your child last week said, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. And this is how this other child is having some control. Yeah. So really just trying to figure out the whole situation and make it, other parents might not do what you want them to do in this situation too. And that's, can also be tricky part of it, but you can control you. And so as a parent, knowing that how you behave is also modeling and teaching. So if you get into name calling or blaming, then that is something they'll learn about how to navigate this. Yeah. We should also caution about what else they're exposed to. So watch the movies they're watching or television, even music, social situations, you and your partner, what you might be talking about when they're in the other room. Really just think about all these ways that children are exposed to some of these behaviors that in a lot of society seem kind of acceptable and somewhat entertaining. So we want to make sure that we're not perpetuating that.
That's right. So if I could sum up our friendship conversation here, I would just remind our listeners that making friends and developing the social skills to make and keep friends takes a lot of practice, years and years and years of practice. So keep your expectations as the parent, keep them realistic. Okay. Offer support, give them that solid foundation of love and nurturing, model those skills. What am I missing, Rachel? Model the skills, label the feelings.
Yep. Just have fun with it. Know who they are. Figure out who they are. Revel in the joy of friendships and social activities and play, and make sure your kids have lots of them. There's never too much play in their lives. Free, open-ended play that allows them to build those social skills, understand social norms, and they will learn how, in a way that's right for them, to make friends and also be a good friend.
Thanks, Rachel.
Calling all curious minds, mud pie makers, and yes, silly gooses. The serious business of preschool awaits. At Bright Horizons, preschool sets the stage for school success. We know that children flourish when they can be their own authentic selves. That's why our teachers provide the academic and emotional support to build your child's confidence and love of learning. We even offer flexible schedules. Visit brighthorizons.com to find a center near you. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teach, Play, Love. We hope today's content has been inspirational and helped support your parenting. Until next time.